May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Well, please do take a seat. And as Mike said earlier, happy Christmas. We're absolutely delighted that you can share a part of Christmas Day with us. And I'm one of those people, I remember all of these sort of snippets of songs that used to be played back when I was a child, you know, the songs that played in the background while you were playing on the floor. And I actually was only born in the late 1980s, despite what you might think, given the amount of hair on my head. And so most of the songs that I remember are actually from the 1990s. And there's one in particular that sort of lodged itself in my brain. You know, there's almost like a meme you keep wanting to repeat. And it's Joan Osborne's 1995 rock single, One of Us. I don't know if you remember it, but in it, Joan repeatedly asks, "What if God was one of us? What if God was one of us?" Well, here's the mind-bending Christmas claim. Hidden inside all of those carols we've been singing, in Jesus, the Creator God did come as one of us. That's what our gospel reading was all about. So it speaks about this word, the eternal God the Son, who, verse 1, was always with God and yet also was God. One with the Father and yet distinct. And then verse 14, it says, that word, that God the Son, he came into human history, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, as Jesus of Nazareth, fully God and fully human. And that means today, that as we celebrate Christmas, as we finally sit down at the table and give the obligatory congratulations to whoever's carved the turkey, we're celebrating something absolutely and utterly unique. We're not celebrating another religious myth that gives some religious ideal. We're not celebrating the birth of yet another founder of a world religion. No, we're celebrating the birth of God come as one of us. But press pause just for a moment before we really get going. Is that believable? The invisible God becoming a baby. The Creator becoming a creature. Fully God, fully man. How does that even work? I'm not suggesting that this is a mystery that we can somehow put into a test tube and totally understand. But if God exists, if he really is the author of life, then can't it be possible that he might just write himself into the story of life? If there's any possibility that there is a creator, might it not also be possible that he's creative enough to come up with the idea of Christmas? If you'd like to explore the credibility of the Christmas story for yourself a little bit, we've got a few copies of a wonderful book at the back. It's called Is Christmas Unbelievable? Written by Rebecca McLaughlin. And it looks at that question of, can we believe the Christmas story? And we'd love you to take a copy of this as a Christmas present from us today. It only takes about an hour to read, so you should be able to fit it in after the Christmas lunch. But assuming just for a moment that this is true, that the Christmas story is true, and just changing Joan Osborne's question just a little bit, so what if God was one of us? You know, what difference should that make when we finally scrape the last sprout into the bin this afternoon? Well, here's just three reasons that we're going to explore briefly this morning. God came as one of us so we can know him, so we can be sure that he knows us, and so he could bring us into his family. So first, God came as one of us so that we can know him. So verse 18, at the end of our gospel reading, it says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. It may not feel it on Christmas morning, but this story that we call life is really confusing. It begins when we're born, it ends when we die, And in between, we learn and we work and we love and we hope. And sometimes beautiful things happen to us. You know, the dream job, the loyal spouse. But sometimes ugly things happen to us. The break in a family relationship. That dreaded diagnosis. And we might wonder, what's going on with this life? What is this all about? Why is life this strange mixture of garbage and glory all sort of blended together? And because we can't see God and we can't reason our way to God if he's there, then we might just wonder, if God's there, can he really be good? Can he really be good for me? Really? In the Armoon household at the moment, we're reading The Lord of the Rings. And the world of Lord of the Rings is a really confusing world. Sometimes it's absolutely beautiful, and sometimes it's pretty ugly. Just imagine for a moment that you could be a character in the Lord of the Rings story. If you know the book, then you can choose your own character. I won't demand that you choose my favourite. And then imagine that the author of that story, J.R.R. Tolkien, came into the story himself, came as a character, came born in the Shire, say, and he started speaking and acting within the story. As a character, you could get to know him. You could hear him speak. You could see what he did. And you could see whether he was good news, whether he was good news for you. Well, that's what happened at the birth of Jesus Christ. The divine author of life entered into the story that we call life so that we could get to know him. And in Jesus, we see God. We see God's purposes and we see God's character, not in hard principles or precepts, but in a human person whose concrete words and actions we can understand because they're at our human level. So in Jesus, we see God touch the leper. And we know that he cares for those who are overlooked and on the outside. And in God, we see Jesus, we see God welcoming in well-known, notorious sinners. And we hear him say things like, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we know that he embraces those who mess up. That he's not commending our bad choices, but he's not quickly condemning us either. He's coming offering forgiveness. He's offering hope for a new start. And so we can say to ourselves, you know what, I don't understand everything about this story called life. There's a whole lot of things that happen that totally leave me bewildered and sometimes feeling pretty pained, but I do know what God, the author of life, is like. I do know that he's good. I do know that he's good news for me because I've seen him in the words and actions of Jesus. God came as one of us so we can know him. But of course, we might still wonder, okay, I know that this God through the life of Jesus, okay, he's good and he wants my good. I can get him, but does he really get me? Does he get what it's like to be me? Well, that's the second reason it matters that God was one of us. God came as one of us so we can be sure he knows us. Because Jesus, he's not like Superman, or if you prefer, the Marvel Universe's Thor, somebody who appears to be a human, but actually isn't a human. And though verse 14, it doesn't say that the Word made himself appear to be flesh, just to sort of be visible. It says the Word became flesh. While remaining 100% God, God the Son became 100% human. Human all the way down. And that has absolutely massive implications for us. So novelist Dorothy Sayers, she put it like this, I think somewhat provocatively. She said, "For whatever reason, God chose to make human beings as we are, limited and suffering and subject to sorrows and death. God had the honesty and the courage to take his own medicine. Whatever game he is playing with his creation, he has kept his own rules and played fair." God gets it. God gets us. God played fair. The author of life entered into the story of life. He's gone through the whole of human experience, and he's not asking us to go through anything that he hasn't gone through himself. He knows the irritations of family life. And he knows the heartache of family conflict. He knows what it's like to be absolutely exhausted. He knows what it's like to feel pain and to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be humiliated. He knows what it's like to die. He knows what it's like to be you going through whatever you're going through this morning. Jesus was human, so we can be sure that God knows us. The Word, God the Son, he took on flesh so that in a confusing and sometimes hard human life, we can know God and we can know that he knows us. Here's a maybe slightly searching question. If God may have made himself known in Jesus, are we willing to look Jesus in the face? Are we willing to give him more than just a glance? To engage with the records of his life from the people who saw him and touched him and heard from him. And to consider, was this man God come among us? And if so, if that could be true, what might that mean for me? If that's a question that we've got the courage to ask, then why not come on the Taster evening for our Hope Explored course in early January and talk about those things with others in an open, non-judgmental environment. Do chat to Mike if you'd like to know more about that. He'd love to hear from you. Because as we close, the message that God came as one of us so that we can know him and know we're known by him, that's of great comfort to believers, but that's also an incomplete message. When we make an effort to get to know someone and be known by them, it's usually because we want a relationship with them. If you need any convincing of that, ask my wife about our dating later. We make an effort to get to know somebody and be known by them. It's because we want a relationship with them. And God ultimately came as one of us to bring us into the closest possible relationship with him, to bring us into his family. Because there's lots of things that put a distance between us and God that we just can't cross. The worst things about us. The things that most reveal our self-centeredness. The secrets that we don't want anybody else to know, and the parts of us that we hope nobody else has noticed. But God knows all of that, and he doesn't pull back from us. He closes the distance. God the Son willingly went from heaven to the crib, and then he went from the crib to the cross to do everything absolutely necessary to bring us close, to bring us home, to make us God the Father's loved children, even though we don't deserve it, and even though we could never earn it. And we get given that right to be the children of God the Father all of our lives simply by trusting and welcoming God the Son into our lives. That's what John meant when he says in our gospel reading, yet to all who did receive him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. One person who really delights to be called a child of God is the London-based rapper Stormzy. I don't know if you've come across him. Well, he wrote a track called Blinded by Your Grace. And in that, he speaks to God directly and he says, yeah, I'm Abigail's youth, but I'm God's son. It's not by blood and it's not by birth. You save this kid and I'm not your first. Stormzy isn't the first and he's not going to be the last. God the Son came as one of us so we can know him and be known by him and then be brought into God's family. What if God was one of us? Let's pray. Father, thank you that your divine Son came as one of us so that we can know you and know that we're known by you. Please help us receive him with faith this Christmas, so that by your grace, we might delight in being or in becoming your adopted children. Amen.